everyone, and welcome back to the Ramble Room. This is Diane, and Joseph is here, and Sarah is here, and Ken is here.
I'm not sure Joseph's really here.
No, I haven't been here a long time.
Joseph is taking up a chair.
He's drifting off every time we look over there.
By the way, you're very good at that.
What's that?
You drifting have like off? This very positive, soothing. Hey, it's glad to. I'm glad to be back.
Oh, well,
Diane,
that's nice.
Because you sound
that's
so perky and welcoming.
You sure sound sincere.
If I
did it, it would be, oh, welcome back.
Well, maybe I feel like I have to be extra chipper because we're going to talk about such depressing things today.
Oh, that's true. Begin on a high note.
Yes. It could be a little bit complicated and perhaps rambling.
Weird.
No.
I know. We're going to start out with something that, this probably wasn't really the spark, but we're sort of going to make this the basis. There was a statement going out from the Wyoming Freedom Caucus about COVID vaccine mandates. I have talked to a lot of people recently who are concerned about that for their jobs. Am I going to lose my job if I refuse to get a vaccine? And what do we do about that? And so there are some people in the legislature who are trying to preempt something like that, and they call themselves the Wyoming Freedom Caucus.
You pretty much explained it.
That's it?
Yeah, it's just a group of legislators who are right-minded in a conservative way, and similarly, they've teamed up to work together, you know, strategize together, how are we going to do this, who might bring this bill, who might bring that bill, should we try to do this, what might be the outcome, what resistance, all that game planning and strategizing. So it's a case of a number of legislators who work together to try to help collectively accomplish our goals, conservative goals.
Okay. So here's what they had to say. The Wyoming House Freedom Caucus would like to acknowledge the numerous emails received from Wyoming constituents regarding COVID-19 vaccine mandates. Several employers have started requiring the COVID-19 vaccine of their employees. We do not believe employers should have the authority to require vaccines of employees. We believe each competent adult shall have the right to make his or her own health care decisions as set forth by Article 1, Section 38 of the Wyoming Constitution. The Wyoming House Freedom Caucus values the hardworking American worker and especially those on the front line in the health care system. We fear a temporary collapse in the health care system due to such mandates. Highlighting potential exemptions to the COVID-19 vaccine has never been more important. We call attention to the following potential exemptions: religious, natural immunity, health, emergency use authorization. We raise concern as to whether or not employers are providing informed consent. Furthermore, we believe that if an employer denies an employee exemption, the employer should take on future liability. Termination of an employee for refusing to take a vaccine should be considered discrimination, and unemployment benefits must be awarded by Wyoming Workforce Services. We oppose taxpayer dollars being used to fund businesses and organizations that mandate their employees receive the COVID-19 vaccine. We support introducing law in Wyoming to ban vaccine passports and legislation such as the draft bill Vaccine Requirements Limitations, that's the title in quotation marks, sponsored in June 2021 by the Labor, Health, and Social Services Committee. With alarming concern for individuals, the Wyoming House Freedom Caucus recognizes that the governor of Wyoming has the authority to call a special legislative session to deal with these important issues. On September 3, 2021, the Wyoming House Freedom Caucus met with Governor Gordon, requesting he call a 3-to-5-day, one-topic special session before November 1, 2021.
Had to lighten it up a little bit.
I hate that one. I was like, who are these people and why are they interrupting?
I thought we were on candid camera. Okay, so one of our things that Ken and I at least have discussed before is that, like, when employers were requiring masks, you know, we were going, okay, well, we don't agree with that, but if you want to work at a job and that's what they want you to do, then don't they have the right to require that? They're not really breaking any laws. But I think when it comes to the vaccine, requiring the vaccine, it's a little bit different. If Walmart wants you to wear a uniform, then you comply or don't work there. If they want you to alter your body for them, that's different. If they said, well, you have to tattoo your employee number on your wrist, we would say, that's not constitutional. So we were talking about, where do you draw the line when it comes to what a private business can require?
I think it's doctor-patient confidentiality. If you want to see what my doctor has done for me, I want to see your last rectal exam stuff.
Do you really?
Yeah. Show it to me. I mean, if you're going to force people to tell you what you and your doctor have worked out, then I should have the right to go into yours, too. The right. Turnabout's fair play.
And that's a good point.
I think we used to have some rules about that, right?
We definitely did.
Sorry, I'm sitting here trying to think of what's wrong with what you just said. Not because I want to find fault or pick on that, but it just strikes me that in certain cases, an employer, because he has a vested interest in an employee, has a right to know certain things, and I don't know where you draw that line.
Like a drug test?
UA.
Example, yeah.
Because it deals with insurance.
But there could be other things, pregnancy issues with a female employee, all kinds of things. Not only does it affect whether or not that person can be on the workforce, it also affects, and which would relate to how you're going to train them, what types of positions you might rely on them for. If you know that they're, for example, trying to get pregnant, and you have a project coming up, you think, well, maybe I should need to know that.
The doctor, she is not forced to have to tell you that.
No, I'm just saying there are some things that as an employer, there could be any number of issues. Maybe you've been diagnosed with.
Work at the hospital, even though I was only working in the coffee shop, I had to go get a TB test.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They needed to know that I wasn't going to pass something to someone.
And all I'm saying is that somewhere there's a line. I don't know where that line is.
Right. But forced vaccinations to be employed, I don't think is. I don't think it's in front of that line. I mean,
I don't either. Right. But a lot of people do.
Right. So where's a logical argument to the line? Why is it there?
Well, if somebody's like drug test. Let's go back to drug test. If you're driving a semi down the highway, and you're
for on, which your employer is responsible,
right, and you're loaded up on cocaine and shrooms, what the owner of that company has the right to know that.
Well, and for the safety of the other drivers on the road, we all would feel better driving down the interstate knowing that the people behind the wheel of the semis are not strung out on something.
Now take that same argument and apply it to vaccinations in public places.
That's tricky.
It is a very slippery slope.
Yeah,
well,
because
a guy driving a semi, drunk or high, is more likely going to kill you than COVID-19.
But is the argument then likelihood?
It would be. I guess it would be. Because the likelihood of you dying from COVID-19 is...
There is a risk factor that has to come into play at some point.
Right.
But if the employer just really thinks that you're not being vaccinated is a danger to the other people in the business, is that not justified?
Well, thinking and knowing are two different things. So
it depends on who you are.
If you think that COVID-19 has a 50% survival rate, then you're an idiot. If you think that the chances of somebody driving a semi loaded up on God knows what is likely to kill somebody, that's
statistics.
Truthful. That's statistically correct. Mm-hmm. That guy's more than likely going to have an accident and hurt somebody.
So by your argument, somewhere we would make a line, some would call it an arbitrary line, as to when does something exceed a certain risk to others.
That's where I would.
Fair enough. In light of this, it was read Article 1, Section 38 of the Wyoming Constitution basically says that adult competent individuals are responsible for their own health care decisions. There is the argument put out by the left for years, my body, my choice.
Yeah, it's not that.
Where do these lines continue to be drawn?
There's
no easy answer is all I'm trying to say.
Right. But in my mind it is. We have a virus that is... I think, wasn't it point two? or is it 0.5?
Less, it's 0.0 something.
0.0 something. Yes. Okay. So do you have that kind of survival rate?
Wait, 0.02 chance of survival rate? Or survival rate? Let's be specific.
Or death rate.
Okay.
So if you have a even if it's just 99%, let's make it nice and nice and even number there.
99% survival rate.
Right. If you have that 99% survival rate, I'm going to tell you to shove it every time.
Okay.
Like, okay, that's the chances of me killing grandma, which is the thing that they like to use.
But if you're arguing with God, you say for the sake of 40, what about 35? What about 30?
Sodom and Gomorrah was, the odds were definitely.
So I understand what you're saying, that you're not going to get vaccinated. But if your employer says, fine, don't, but don't come to work tomorrow.
Use your boots. Get the hell out
right.
of here.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And this is kind of where I was going in my thinking this morning, is that we should, you have the right to do that. Walk out.
Somebody else will hire you.
Will they?
Yeah.
That's a tough thing to say.
I'll hire you right now.
A lot of people are really in a tough spot where they feel like, right or wrong, they feel like this is the only thing I know, it's the only thing I've done. It would cause great upheaval and consternation to my family. It's more trouble than it's worth to try to do that. I'm just going to go ahead and go along to get along. I'll bite the bullet, I'll get the stupid shot, and go along. Well, what happens if they take that shot and they happen to be one of those few people, also a small risk factor?
Then where's your family at?
Reversely, yeah, now where's your family at? The other side of that is, because your employer forced you to get it, are they then culpable?
No.
Are they responsible to your family?
Absolutely not. Yeah, according to the CDC website, right. Absolutely not.
Right. No one's responsible right now.
Right.
But shouldn't they be if they required it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
See, there's the other side of the slippery slope. It's just a big greasy mess, isn't it?
Right. If you're going to force somebody to take a shot, you need to be liable for any effects that shot might have.
I have a really hard time with this because I keep viewing it on different scales. Let's say there was a very small shop owner who only had 2 or 3 employees. And that person feels convicted that, okay, everybody should be getting the shot, and they require their people to get that. That's only 2 or 3 people. And it's just a shop. It's retail. Like, you
not
can
to
find
them,
somebody
not.
Else.
It's not to them, though. To them,
well, no,
that's
no,
a super
but,
spreader.
But hear me out, though. Because that's a very small scale situation. But then when you get to, like, these nurses who are working in these gigantic hospitals that are being required to get the shot or kick rocks, okay, now that nurse is working at the one hospital that's local. Now she's got to move to a different town in order to use her nursing degree.
If she can even use it at all. And
right,
see, that's
right.
where the problem in lies. They're telling you all kinds of stupid crap with this virus. The CDC website will tell you that everything that you're hearing on the news is stupid. Because they tell you, well, does the vaccine work? Well, it's still in its test phase. Will it keep me from spreading the disease? No. Will it keep me from catching the disease? No. Can I go outside without a mask on? No. So what is the point of the vaccine?
Right.
Yeah.
If everybody's going to get it anyways, whether you have the vaccine or not, and they say, oh, well, it cuts down on deaths. So
how do we know?
If we're going from 0.0, whatever the number is there, I don't know what the number is anymore because it changes. If we're going from that number to something smaller, then it doesn't exist. And so if everybody's got the vaccine,
well, it does to somebody.
If everybody's got the vaccine and it's supposed to take it down to a smaller number, then what are we even worried about? You know, get the vaccine.
Well, but that kind of ties into what I'm saying, I guess, because I can feel for the shop owner who feels very strongly about the vaccine. I only have 2 or 3 people in here. I would really feel much better if I knew that my customers were safe, if I knew that my staff was safe. Okay. But at the same time, that person is misinformed about what's going on. So part of me, as a small business owner, goes, yes, you should have the right to be able to determine what happens in your company. But at the same time, where does that end?
Right.
Right, because the scale she's
And what good does it do?
Yeah, the scale she's talking about is, okay, there's a little business downtown on Main Street who decides that her 2 employees are going to get the vaccine or she's finding someone else. Fine. But when you have all the hospitals in the state or the country doing that, where do the nurses go who'd want to stand up? And this is part of what I was thinking, is that the scale is so huge now. Mm-hmm. We can't say, well, fine, I'm just not going to patronize any business who is requiring this. Really? Are you willing to go that far? Because think about the businesses that you use all the time that you're going to have to say, I'm not coming there. Where are you going to get your food? Where are you going to get your gas? What, you know,
right.
All of those things. So it's one thing to say, well, I'm just not going to put up with that. What about the people who feel that they don't have a choice? What are we going to do for them? How do we get people together and say, okay, come on, all of us are quitting our jobs here, and we'll figure out some way to take care of each other, and we'll take a stand, and we'll die on this hill.
And I'm going back to the CDC. Whenever the CDC tells you that you are not going to protect anybody from catching the virus, it's not going to protect you from catching the virus, at that point, every argument goes out the window. They say, do it to protect your neighbor. Do it to protect your grandma.
But it doesn't really protect you.
It's not really protecting you. With the death rate as low as it is already, you're not protecting anybody with your mask or your shot anymore.
You are selfish.
Yes, I guess that I am.
I'm not necessarily...
All American, baby.
I'm not necessarily a huge fan of what the Freedom Caucus is saying about, okay, let's say you have an employee that won't get the vaccine and then you fire them. They're entitled to unemployment because, again, when we're talking about scale, that could be mass layoffs across the state. And then who's picking up the tab for these people's unemployment?
The three people who still have jobs.
Yeah.
There's an old expression that says government governs best that governs the least. And the principle behind that is the smaller the government and the less it tries to do, the better it can respond to various issues. I believe the same thing is true with employers. There's less bureaucracy. Having been employed by a monster company like AT&T and having been employed by a tiny company like Martin Auto Parts and Casper, I understand a little bit about those things. But the truth of the matter is, the more centralized any thinking becomes, whether it's government or a business or whatever, and the more power that it has, the more dangerous and the less effective it is. And what we have in the United States now, I think, is this problem of scale. Everything is left to these massive companies, Walmart, Amazon, major employers of millions of people. And one or two of them make a decision, which ideally I would like to say, if I own a business, I have the right to say what's going to happen to my business. Just like you guys have your business. If somebody comes in with pierces and nose rings and tattoos all over their face, they might not be the first person you're going to hire to work with people the way that you have to.
Right.
And you should have that
choice. They're not going to be the face of our company.
Yeah,
for
you should have that. You should have that right. Well, when you get to the point of scale where you've got some board members sitting in New York City saying, for every branch of this company, we're going to make all of the decisions. Now you've got these issues. What I lament is the fact that these mega corporations have replaced small businesses far too often. And if there is an answer, in my mind, the answer is to support small businesses to start and operate small businesses. Take your business away from Walmart if you can. Take it down to the third Thursday farmers market. Yes, it costs more.
And it doesn't go on in the winter.
It actually, well, no, not that one. But
they just hibernate.
They do have a winter farmer's market.
Yes. But the principle is as much as possible, and we've let it go so far now that it's, I mean, the thought of trying to survive without mega corporations.
Yeah. You can't pump the brakes hard enough to get it to stop.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was my point is that, and I like to use Walmart because, especially in our town in Sheridan, if you say, fine, I'm not going there, okay, you better have a plan B because they pretty much have the market.
I'm not going to go to Walmart anymore. I'm going to order everything off of Amazon.
Right.
I'm going to shoot deer and turkeys out of my backyard to steal potatoes from my neighbor.
Well, I like Ridley's here in town. I hope they don't mind me name dropping, but Ridley's is a...
But they are controlled by a board somewhere else that can do the same thing.
Right.
Same with Albertsons. I would rather go there. But they're going to get their rules from above.
Mm. Right.
And there won't be any place to
but
go.
But you like them because they're a smaller business and they're more sensitive to
right.
that needs. And that's precisely my point.
But they're not small enough to affect what we're talking about.
Right.
How does this apply to Christians?
let's start with quit being lazy. Christians have gotten lazy and letting things get out of control, and they've stopped helping their fellow man.
Well, you yourself, I agree, but you yourself just said it's too late to put on the brakes. So what do we do?
Well, you start. What I'd like to see in the Christian community is sub communities. Every town has their community. From the church, and I know this sounds communist, but you know, your church helps your community.
What did the first church do in Acts chapter 2?
Had everything in common.
Right.
But it was voluntary, and that's the difference between the church and communism.
Right.
So here's something that came up in my online ramblings this week. I found a video of Republicans debating Democrats about several issues, but one of them, the word communism came up. And they were kind of arguing back and forth, and it got me thinking, the whole reason why we're even at a juncture in our history as to whether we're, I shouldn't have said communism, I should have said socialism, but why we're even debating whether or not socialism is an option for us is because Christians got out of the way and created a vacuum that socialist ideals could replace. Because the Democrats are arguing, well, everybody should have health care, everybody should have this, everybody should have that. Yeah, that would be great. Except why are we expecting the government to pay for it? So to me, I don't necessarily have a problem with socialism when it looks like the church in wherever that was.
Is that true socialism though? Because it's all voluntary.
Right.
True socialism.
Well, this is what I'm
godless.
Saying though. This
right.
is what I'm saying though
you
is
take
that
God out of the picture so, and it doesn't hold
take,
together.
But take politics out of the picture. Take
right.
the government out of the picture, take right and left out of the picture, and just say, what do people need? People need jobs. People need food. People need whatever. And how can Christians step back into the gap and start providing those services and start providing that aid? All these people that are pouring out of the public school system because of the mask mandates, there is a pretty large group of us trying to step into that gap saying we will help you. And whether that looks like we need to help you pay your bills or buy curriculum or babysit your kids when you have to go to work or whatever, we need to be able to step in and do that because there is a giant vacuum being created. And if we don't do it, the government will. And then we never, ever, ever get our freedom back.
Who started orphanages?
Right.
Who started these
universities?
All the hospitals were church.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were the
so
Catholic church.
So there's the
right.
answer to health care
right
there.
Right.
And it drives me nuts when everybody goes, oh, everybody should have medical insurance. Everybody should have medical insurance. Why do we need medical insurance? Why can't we just make medicine affordable? Why can't we get back to teaching people, you know what, your body can heal itself. How about you just stop eating Doritos and ice cream every night and maybe you would get over things faster? Fingers pointing back at myself. But I know that. And I know that there are people that I can reach out to get more holistic health care, or I can just figure it out or whatever.
We get Diane's health insurance through one of those, it's not really insurance, it's co-op that pays those things. Once again, you've had large corporations, HMOs and the like, healthcare organizations, insurance companies, that have gotten into bed with legislators on the national level. And everybody's
and
involved
drug companies.
In this. And what we have taken out of it is the free market.
Mm-hmm.
We need more free market. Same thing that we need, and that's but I guess what I'm saying about starting small businesses, about supporting small businesses, as much as possible, rage against the system, as it were.
The machine.
Support small businesses. Do whatever you can. Let's start thinking more like 150 years ago, you didn't necessarily go to public school. I know my granddad got through the eighth grade, and he thought he did pretty well, and he did pretty well. And he went out, and he went to work and he started little businesses and various things. What used to happen was you would learn a trade, you would hang up your shingle, and everybody was in business for themselves, and each community was fairly much autonomous. The local doctor, for in exchange for a couple of chickens, would come deliver your baby, and everybody cooperated. And then we began to centralize. We began to get bigger, and we began to get better. And now we're at a point where we are, as Joe pointed out, it's a little late to put on the brakes. We're probably past that point of no return. And this is one of the issues, is now we become ruled by something that we no longer have control over.
For the population at large, it's too late. But I think for the Christian community, we can step back. We can step back and say, okay, this is how we're going to do this. We need to put something together as the church, like they put orphanages in. Like they, I mean, those didn't always work out great. But, but you know, and then hospitals. But the a lot of Christian hospitals are cheap and affordable.
I wholeheartedly agree with what you're saying.
Yeah.
But all too often what happens is you don't even sell this effectively to the members of the church. There's a story about a church that had a private school. Even the members of the church didn't support the private school. Some of them fought against it because, oh, we got perfectly good public schools. Why should we waste our money on that?
Right, right. Where teachers have the hammer and sickle tattooed on their chest and teaching your kids about.
And we don't, the doctors are not going to want to take chickens to deliver babies anymore.
I'll take chickens for delivering your baby.
Right. And that's, you know, there is a movement like to get, for a while, midwives were illegal, and now it's kind of starting to come back again because people are going, I can't afford anything else, and this is ridiculous, and it's too invasive. There is a slight backlash, but one of the things we have to do is stop suing each other.
Yes.
Because this is, it's the legislature is in bed with some of these people, but the lawyers spur it on. Let's do a class action suit. And so there's not enough chickens in the country to pay some doctor's malpractice insurance in case something happens.
Yeah.
Well, and Christians aren't supposed to be suing people anyway.
I know. But you just, you get into the habit of thinking that's the next step. When almost, I was pretty horrified when I started teaching and realized that these Christian parents who are paying money for their kids to go to a good school, and most of them were stay-at-home moms, had decided that their child should never, ever suffer physically or emotionally. And if something happened to them, somebody had to go down.
What kind
of thinking is that?
That's what happens. Like some people are in this general area, community, you know, they I'm worried about my son, and he's 20 years old, and there's a spider. I'm scared for my son because you got a spider in your house. Okay.
And we want your job.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't have been so coddled, and maybe you should realize that he's too coddled. Throw spiders on him. Don't eat the spider.
The house is 100 years old. When you're asleep,
yeah, you're eating spiders.
Crawling all over the place.
And it's September in Wyoming. Yep. Everything is coming indoors.
Yep, stuff's going to start
but
coming in.
We've dropped this a couple of times, and I want to touch on this specifically, the public school system, because we've kind of talked about COVID and socialism, so why not throw in a whole other topic? The public school system, for those of you that haven't heard yet, at least our local school districts have decided that, yes, we will have a mask mandate for students this year. And it seems like there are fewer exemptions being allowed this year than last year. And what we've seen over the last, what, week, 2 weeks?
Yeah, not quite two yet.
Is what certainly feels like a mass exodus from the public school system. People, parents, yeah, parents pulling their kids out to do pretty much anything. Some of them homeschool, some of them private school. And I thought it was interesting that last week I was ill, but with everything going on in Afghanistan and whatever else, I felt as low as I had in a really long time about the history of our country. And the next day, the school system issues the mask mandates and our phones start blowing up.
Yes.
What do I do? What do I do? I got to pull my kid out. What's my other option? And Diane, Ken, myself, we were all on our phones talking to people going, okay, here's where you can start, and this, you can get in touch with this group or whatever. But it's interesting that the part of the problem, part of the link, is that the education system has failed to the point where we cannot use logic and reasoning to reason our way through this COVID stuff.
Well, we don't even know what boys and girls are.
No. So now we're overreacting to this COVID stuff, but it's coming full circle to where now parents are pulling their kids out of the public school. And guess what? Logic and reason is going to come back into the picture.
Weird.
I was just thinking the other day, the first time that I ever got politically involved was the 1968 presidential campaign.
Gosh.
And you say, what are you talking about, Ken? You're only six. Yes, I was. I was in the second grade. In the second grade, and the teacher came in one day, and she said, we're going to have a mock election in the class. And it was Hubert Humphrey against...
Don't ask me. I wasn't paying any
attention. O.J. Simpson.
Nixon. No, Richard Nixon. Well, anything you heard on the news was anti-Nixon, even in those days. And Hubert Humphrey, I thought, you'd heard a lot about him. He'd been vice president. He has three H's in his initial. That's pretty good. He looked very presidential. So I voted for Hubert H. Humphrey. And I went home and I told my dad about it because I knew he was into politics.
Ooh.
And you should have heard the poo hit the fan. And so then I started looking at, well, who are these people? And even at the age of six or seven, I could understand a few basic principles. So I go, watching the entire swing of the nation from that point, we go from left to right to left to right, like a pendulum swings back and forth. We had Jimmy Carter. We had Ronald Reagan, and we swung back, and then it kind of got stuck in the middle, you know.
Oh, I was going to say, we never quite swing all the way back right.
Yeah, although now we've had such a, every time it swings, it's like the center of gravity gets pulled to the left, and we swing a little more left and a little less right. And recently we had Trump, and now it swung all the way back to absolute
chaos,
insanity.
It's not even left. It went all the way around in a circle.
Chaos and insanity are not even good words to describe where it went.
I just bring all this up to say there is always a certain equilibrium. They push a little too hard to the left, it swings back to the right. But it never quite comes back to the right as far as it should.
Right.
And the ultimate is that over the last 250 years of our nation's history, we've gradually moved left. Why is that? There's an overarching power, I believe, that is evil.
And part of it is just selfishness, individual selfishness. They say, well, yeah, I do want my freedom, but I also want my free stuff. Can't we just figure out a way to have both?
Can't we just get along?
Give me my freedom stuff.
Yeah.
I want freedom stuff.
Yeah. Give me stuff, but don't tell me what to do.
Like a
it
cell
doesn't
phone.
Work like that.
I want a cell phone. Yeah. That's freedom stuff.
It reminds me of, was it Ananias and Sapphira? Who were supposed to be contributing just like everybody else, and they held a little bit back and they lied about it. I think if you actually put out a call to the Christian church to start adopting these principles, like shopping locally, maybe getting your insurance through, like, what is it called? The Samaritan's Purse?
Well, there is that. Mine is Christian Healthcare Ministries.
Okay. And starting to reevaluate your life. Where are you voting with your dollars? Where could you vote differently? How could you maybe save some money on this bill by switching to this and then using that money to put it towards funding someone else's, I don't know, new homeschool venture or something.
I saved $15 switching Geico.
I think there will be shop.
15%.
Was there a gecko in your bathroom?
Yes. Yeah.
And the housekeeper
and he was
the geckos
very messy. Very messy. Aww.
Yeah.
But so cute. Spiders?
They just kind of go wherever they want. Yeah. Anyways.
What I was saying was, though, I think there's something about American Christians that has become very cafeteria-like. We pick and choose what we're going to believe, and then we go and do whatever the world does, because that's just what you do, right? You get health insurance, and you send your kids to school, and you drive this car, and you pay these taxes, and you do whatever else everybody else is supposed to do, because that's just a thing, right?
And we think that persecution will never come to us because we've been so nice and cooperative.
Right.
Yeah, nice. That's exactly what we've been.
And we've
nice.
Had it so nice.
We have.
But it's like, okay, going back to the public school system, the other day I was watching
I will never go back to the public school system. Thank
me
you.
Neither, mostly because they won't have me.
You are a little bit older
yes,
now.
Yes.
Oh, did you want to be a teacher? Is that what you meant?
No,
oh.
No. No. Oh, bunch of booger pickers looking
ask
at me.
Ask us about our one baseball game as assistant coaches in the dugout. Let's
maybe
see if
not.
Joe should be a teacher.
I fear we interrupted you.
But the other day I was watching a TikTok video, and a girl couldn't have been 18 years old.
Not on TikTok. You don't have that app on your phone?
No, I don't have that app. No.
Okay.
Because it's stupid, and I'm not really caught up on what kids do. You guys do your thing. I don't care. Anyways, so there's this TikTok video on Facebook, which I hate too. But anyways, this gal, she is on there. She got the short haircut with the green hair, and she goes, you know, I just found out that I have a new identity. I identify as a bug. And she goes on.
I identify as a shoe.
And she goes on to say, you know, what the pronouns would be bug, bug self, him bug, her bug, this bug, that
oh
bug.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, okay. So let me use it in a sentence for you. Bug self sprayed herself with, or bug self sprayed bug self with Raid. Get out of my house. Like, the school system is allowing that. And you wouldn't believe how many amens were in the comments. Amen. Amen, sister. You's a bug, honey. No. No, you're not
you
a bug.
You got speedy eyes.
Yeah. You're not a bug. You're an idiot. But this public school system is allowing people to think this way.
Yes.
And
it's encouraging it.
Yeah. Let's say it flat out. They're
encouraging
it.
They're encouraging it.
This is part of where this came from. Because you can't do the stupid stuff that's being done to people if they're educated.
Yeah, you would never believe that you were a bug if you knew anything about science. Mm-hmm. All these liberal idiots are saying, follow the science, but I'm a bug.
You can't vaccinate
me. Yeah.
There's a quote from Ronald Reagan.
Let me see your exoskeleton.
Can't get the needle through that thing.
No, put it away.
There's a quote from Ronald Reagan that I'm going to have to add to this.
An informed patriotism is what we want. And are we doing a good enough job teaching our children what America is and what she represents in the long history of the world? Those of us who are over 35 or so years of age grew up in a different America. We were taught very directly what it means to be an American. And we absorbed almost in the air a love of country and an appreciation of its institutions. Or you could get a sense of patriotism from school. And if all else failed, you could get a sense of patriotism from the popular culture. We've got to do a better job of getting across that America is freedom. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of enterprise, and freedom is special and rare. It's fragile. It needs production. If we forget what we did, we won't know who we are. I'm warning of an eradication of the American memory that could result ultimately in an erosion of the American spirit.
You know, the thing.
Well, he was going to say those of us who are over 35 remember this. And you guys, well, you are.
I
but
remember.
Even then, we were not doing a good job in schools and stuff, and in churches probably, but there was this residual impression of patriotism.
This is 35 years down the road.
But we have not done that. And I guess that's why I'll bring this back around to the Freedom Caucus's statement. When we lived in Colorado Springs, there was, I don't know how many times we did this, but some of the church members went down and just stood in front of a Planned Parenthood building.
So you guys weren't screaming at women or
throwing
rotten
food at them? No, we just stood there.
You didn't light anybody on fire?
Okay. No.
Did you have signs?
I think there might have been some signs. I didn't have a sign. But the idea was, let's just let people who are coming in there know we're there to help you. That was the whole thing. It wasn't, we weren't saying bad things about the people in there or anything like that. But that's not what I was getting at. My point was that at the time, there was sort of this idea of, let's not make abortion illegal. Let's make it unthinkable. Because you can't really, you know, you can't legislate morality. So in order to make it unthinkable, what do you have to do? You got to educate people. But we've gotten to this point where I don't know that that makes sense anymore, because people are not educated enough to go, oh, I just saw a video that shows that my baby is actually alive already, so if I kill it, it will be murder.
A lot of people are being taught that they are important. You are important. Like, I'm important.
More important than anybody else.
How do you think it should be spelled, Johnny?
And then they get pregnant. I'm important. And they don't go, well, my baby's important. They don't have a basic human decency anymore. They're not being taught human decency. They're being taught, you're a victim, or you're in control of your destiny, and you're this, that.
Don't let this little pea-sized thing stop you from achieving your dreams.
Right. You know, and I think that that's a really backwards way of thinking. You know, I'm pretty selfish, too. But if I see somebody that needs help, I always try to help them. You know, and even if I don't like them. Like, recently, there was a guy that needed my help. I do not like him. I despise him, but I saw that he needed help, and I helped him the best way that I could. He just since has disappeared, but that was me.
What kind of help did he need?
We took care of him,
right? And so to bring that back around to what I was talking about is we're reading this, that we need a law that says that big companies, any companies, can't mandate people to get vaccines. There's this discussion of, okay, where should the line be as far as what people can make you do if you want to work for them? We have people who are so ignorant that we can't just say, your freedom shouldn't encroach on mine, and I won't encroach on you, and do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and things like, let's make abortion unthinkable. We don't have an educated enough populace, and so that moral foundation that would have made people go, wait a minute, let's do something about these people who are trying to take away our freedoms. We've destroyed the foundation to where we don't even have a brick to stand on, a step higher than everybody else, so that we can get their attention. It's all just wah, 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 noise, and it's all about what I think is right. And so as much as I don't want to have to see that we need another law, what other choice do we have?
Mass suicide.
I was going to say homicide.
I really thought this tea tasted funny. Anyway.
Start at home. Set the example.
Yes. You go first.
But this is, I think that we all know that we can't change the world back to what we had. But we have to change our home and our neighborhood and our church, and say, let's just, if it's only five of us, we're going to do the right thing.
You're the salt of the earth.
Yes.
You know, if we would have walked in and that green-haired chick had been standing there in the corner and they said, there's a spider over there, then I would understand why they don't feel safe.